الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله تعالى: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. وقال تعالى: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. جن حضرات کو انگریزی نہیں آتی ان سے میں معذرت چاہتا ہوں کہ ان شاء اللہ بیان انگلش میں اور انگریزی میں ہوگا، اور ویسے بھی بیٹھنے کا ثواب تو ان شاء اللہ مل ہی جائے گا. ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اینڈ ایلڈرز، السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. دا ٹاپک وچ آئی انٹینڈ ٹو ٹاک اباؤٹ ٹوڈے بریفلی از اے ویری امپورٹنٹ ٹاپک. And it's a topic which many of us are neglectful of, and it's a forgotten obligation. The verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That say, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that can those people who know and who have knowledge, can they be equal and similar to those people who don't have knowledge? And the answer is, of course, no. Another verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. That those people who have knowledge, understanding of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates them and gives them a high status, gives them a high rank. So there are many verses of the Quran that indicate, signify the importance and relevance of acquiring knowledge, of ilm. And the ilm and the knowledge here includes also worldly knowledge and also includes religious knowledge. But it gives more importance to the shari'i and deeni and religious and sacred knowledge. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, narrated by Imam Ibn Majah in his Sunan, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. That seeking of knowledge is fard, it is obligatory, it is compulsory, it is necessary, it is the responsibility of each and every Muslim. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, the seeking of knowledge is the responsibility of the ulama, or seeking of the knowledge is the responsibility of the qurra, or the people who are qari, or the huffaz. No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking of knowledge is compulsory upon ala kulli. Kulli means each and every single Muslim. And this includes Muslim male and female. Seeking of knowledge is fard. And fard also here means fard ayn. It is not fard kifaya. As you know, we have two types of fara'id, fard ayn and fard kifaya. Fard ayn means something which is personally obligatory upon everybody, just as praying namaz, salat, and giving zakat, and performing of hajj, and etc. All the fara'id which are fara'id and fard ayn. Similarly, seeking of knowledge is also fard ayn, not fard kifaya. Meaning every single Muslim, male and female, must learn about deen. And now what is meant by this fard? You see, there are two types of knowledges. One, the meaning here that what you have to know is whatever you face throughout your day, whatever concerns you during your day, during your lifetime, and from the time you wake up till the time you go to sleep. If you are performing salat, then you need to know the basic rules and regulations of prayer. If you are performing wudu, then you need to know the basic rules and regulations of performing ablution and wudu. If you are going to perform ghusl and take a bath, then you need to know the basic rules of taking a bath, of tayammum. We see Muslims today that they are even ignorant and unaware of even the basics of wudu. There are so many instances where once a person asked me a question that he was 56 years old, very pious, alhamdulillah, and he was very active in Islamic work, etc. But he found out that time that for since the time he was mature, baligh, until now, that there was a masala which he was unaware of, that his ghusl and his obligatory bath was, he never used to take an obligatory bath when it was fard and compulsory on him. He asked me a question that 40, 30, 50 years, do I have to repeat all my prayers and make qada? I prayed awabeen with it, and ishraq, and tahajjud, and nawafil, and taraweeh, and fajr, and dhuhr, and all the prayers. 50 years of his prayers are not, work, maybe, not valid. So this is something which is very important. We need to know the masail of salat. So many times our namazes and our prayer and our namazes are not accepted, they are not valid. Not valid, not in the sense that there is no reward, but not valid meaning you have to make qada of it. We make mistakes, we don't know. Similarly, the rules of zakat. Many of us, we don't even know the rules of zakat. So, this is an obligation upon every single Muslim that he seeks knowledge and he learns about the ahkam of sharia. If a person is married, then he needs to know the ahkam and the rules of marriage. You see, there are so many ahkam and so many rules of marriage. When a person gets married, then he needs to know about how he's supposed to treat his wife. The nafaqah, the rules, the regulations of giving sustenance to the wife. He needs to know about the rules of mahar, about dowry. If a person is married, then he needs to know about the rules of divorce, of talaq. There are so many people who don't even realize that their marriage has ended and they are living in adultery. There are cases where I've experienced myself one or two cases that somebody found out that 10 years ago his marriage and divorce was finished. And for 10 years he's living in adultery. So this is a responsibility. Many people think that to give a divorce you have to have two witnesses, your wife has to be in front of you. No, that's not the case. You say it whether you're inside the bed, in the darkness of the room, and you're sleeping under the quilt, and you keep your wife in your mind, and you say just one word, divorce, and your wife is divorced. So these are the ahkam which we must all learn about. These are the rules. If a person is doing business, then he needs to know the ahkam and rules of business. So business as well. Now how many people even think and regard that business is part of Islam? How many people even think that business is part of Islam and it is part of deen and part of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Today we think Islam is only in the masjid. And once we step outside the masjid, then you're not Muslims. No, you're a Muslim when you're in the masjid, you're a Muslim when you're on the street, you're a Muslim when you're in the factory, you're a Muslim when you're in your office, you're a Muslim when you're driving a car, you're a Muslim when you're at home. You see, so rules and regulations to business. If a person is doing business, then he needs to know the ahkam of interest. That is this deal and this transaction, does it include interest or doesn't it include interest? He needs to know about the insurance, he needs to know the rules and regulations of importing and exporting, he needs to know the rules and regulations of bill of lading and the letter of credit and all the rules and regulations. You have to learn about it. If you are doing business, then you must learn about it. And it's the basic requirement of every Muslim that he learns about this. So many times that the rules and regulations of business are not taken into consideration. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "At-tujaru yuhsharuna yawm al-qiyamati fujjaran illa man istaqa wa barra wa sadaq." That all the traders on the day of Qiyamah, they will all be raised as sinners, as futsaq, except that person who was truthful in his trade and he stayed away from the evils and from the sins. Now many times, lying and deception, and not just these things, when a person says to somebody that, look, I purchased this for £5, only £5, and for you it's £7, and you got it for £2. This money is £7 you acquired, it is haram and it is unlawful, just as you would be eating haram food. And now sometimes the income, now people ask, dua is not accepted. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person is eating and his food is all haram, and this eating is not just eating gelatin and eating unlawful meat. No, the income, the work you do, and if the income is haram, the person is working in the bank and his income is haram, the person is dealing with interest, his income is haram. If he takes that income, it is just like eating pork and drinking wine. There's no difference. So many times our income is haram and then we go to the shop and we pick up workers' crisps, cheese and onion. Is it halal or haram? That comes afterwards. First we have to make sure that our income is halal. It's not from any haram ways. It should be perfectly halal. If you are doing business, then you need to know the ahkam of business. Qasmul halali faridatun ba'da al-fara'id. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that to acquire, gain and attain and seek halal provision and halal food and halal sustenance is a fard, it's obligatory just as faraidah. So if a person is doing business, then he needs to know about business. If you don't want to know about it, then you don't do business. If a person is married, then he needs to know about the ahkam of marriage, about the ahkam of divorce, about the masail and ahkam of hajj, if you go for hajj, about zakat, about fasting, about sawm, and these are the basic fard ayn requirements from every single Muslim, male and female. Even females, if there are certain ahkam, the females have to know as well. For example, the rules and regulations of menstruation and about istihaba and nifas and all that. Many times female and women, they don't know the ahkam of menstruation, etc. And they don't even calculate it properly. And because of that, many of their prayers are not accepted. So they need to learn about that also. Quran also, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And there are many of us Muslims, that we don't even read the Quran properly, neither do we learn how to read the Quran properly, and neither do we even try to understand the Quran. And this is something which I'm going to mention, and I always really mention this, which I really feel strong about. And this Quran which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, He's given it to this ummah, to the Muslim ummah. This Quran Allah has not given to anybody else. He hasn't given it to the Jews or the Christians or some other. He's not going to create another creation and give it to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this Quran to us. We, when Allah gives us this Quran and He gives us a life, 50, 60 years, in that 60 years, we can't even take out few years time that we go and ask somebody that can explain to me what is the Quran and what is my Lord telling me. If somebody was to marry somebody and his beloved or her beloved wrote a letter in Chinese or in Japanese or some other language you don't know, you'll go to somebody and say, please explain to me what is this. I'm not saying you go and learn all the tafsir and the proper explanation, that is for the ulama. But basic, you pray salah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahmani rahim, maliki yawmi deen. What is Allah saying to you and what you are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you read qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, you should understand, keep in mind, you don't need to know Arabic, you don't have to learn Arabic. But basic understanding of the Quran, one day, 10-15 minutes every day, you go to somebody. Remember, you have to learn it by somebody. You can't learn and read the translation yourself because that leads to deviation. You have to approach somebody, approach an alim, say, please, can you, first of all, we should learn the tajweed, the proper recitation. Go to a qari, go to a hafiz, go to an alim and say, please, this is the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is for me, not for somebody else. It's not for the Christians and the Jews. I want to learn how to read it. And then after that, I want to understand the basic meaning, the khulasa or the essence and the summary of this verse or this surah. What is Allah trying to say in here? Because Allah sent this Quran for us, not for somebody else. And if we, 60, 70 years of our life, we don't even think and we don't want to know what Allah is telling us, then who is going to understand the Quran? So this is also an obligation of the Muslims that they understand about the Quran and also the rules and regulations of all the other ahkams as I just mentioned. And also, as I mentioned, business and mu'amalat. As you know, mu'amalat is one of the most important things of Islam. Islam does not just restrict itself to ibadat. Ibadat means worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are five categories of Islam. One is aqidah, your belief has to be correct. Number two, the second category is ibadah, which is your worship. The third category is mu'amalat, your business dealings. Number four, the fourth category is mu'ashara, your social life, how you should deal with your family members, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your children, the wife and the husband, etc. And number five is akhlaq, your manner and your character and your inner akhlaq, which is known as tasawwuf, and making your heart free and away from diseases such as pride and jealousy and hatred and enmity, etc. These are the five branches of Islam. There's a book known as Hidayah, which is taught in the Darul Ulooms, in the madrasas where the students read. And all the alims, when they study this. It's one of the main books. There's four volumes to that book. The first volume, if you look at it, it's very thick. The first volume deals with praying namaz, salat, zakat, hajj, fasting. All four in first volume. The second three volumes are all dedicated to nikah, talaq, marriage, divorce, inheritance, business transactions, and all the other aspects of your transactions and social life. This shows that if a person wants to carry out his religious duties and responsibilities fully, he performs all his salat and all his prayers properly, he keeps fasting Ramadan and he gives his zakat and he performs hajj every year nearly and goes umrah every year in the month of Ramadan, and he never misses his awabin and his ishraq and his tahajjud, and he prays all the wadaif and all the muamala, the wadaif and awrad, etc. And he's fully punctual. But he is neglectful in his marriage life, his and the ahkam of divorce, and he is neglectful of his business transactions, and he is neglectful of all the other, how to deal with other Muslims, and this person is only acting upon a quarter of Islam and leaving out three quarters of Islam. You see? So all this namaz, and I'm not saying it's not important, namaz and all this is all important, But what's happened now that Muslims, and all of us, me included, we have all restricted Islam to just the outer figure. That person is considered a Muslim who has a very big amama and a big jubbah and the biggest beard, and he has a big tasbih and a subha in his hand, and he looks good, then this is Islam. That is not Islam. Islam is when you go inside your house, how you deal with your children, how you deal with your wife. When you're in the office, when you do business, when it's the time where there's a, you know, between getting 150,000 pounds and leaving 150,000 pounds, where that's when Islam really comes. When you do a deal and there's something which you do haram and it will give you 50,000 pounds, there's doubt in it, but it will give you 50,000 pounds more. But if you don't do it, then you will lose out 50,000 pounds. When you stay away from that thing, that is a proper and true Muslim, regardless how your outer appearance is. These are all sunnah. Wearing of the amama is a sunnah, wearing a long clothing is a sunnah, tasbih and everything is sunnah. But these things are fara'id. To stay away from haram money is a fard. You see, it's haram to take somebody else's money, even one tenth, without his consent. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيب نفس منه. It is not permissible for you to take even one pence of the wealth of a Muslim without his contentment of the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say without his permission. Meaning contentment of the heart, meaning if you go to a shop and you say, somebody says that this is for 5 pounds, 10 pounds, and you say, please make it 9, 9, 9. He says, no, 10, 10. You say, no, please, 9. Please make it 9, make it 8. You force him, and then because of his shy, and he feels, you know, this guy's forcing me, and he's not going to go, there's other customers waiting there. And you force him to 9 pounds, and this is against the hadith. It is, this money, 1 pound, is not halal for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيب نفس منه, that without his contentment, even though he's given you permission, okay, take it for 9 pounds, because he was really tired of you, so he said, okay, take it, but if he wasn't happy, then this is haram for you. So these are the ahkam, and this is the true Islam, the akhlaq, the manner. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَرُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The person with the most complete iman, the person with the most complete Islam, and the most complete believer, it's not that person who prays so many ishraq. It's not that person who prays all the awabin. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they are not part of Islam. There are, but we all know about it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who has the most complete iman is that person who has the best manners and the best character. And he says that the thing which will lead you into Jannah is your best character and best manner. Because the things like praying salat and awabin and ishraq and wada'if, these are your personal things between you and Allah. You do it in the middle of your house, in the darkness of your room, and you do it individually. But these, dealing with other people, how you should treat other people, and your akhlaq, your manner, your character, the adab, this you deal with other people, and it affects other people. It is huququl ibad. And the saying is that huququl ibadi muqaddamun ala huquqillah. The rights of the servants of Allah are above, and they come before, and they are given more priority above the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a Muslim, that his akhlaq, his manner, how he deals with people, how his business transactions are, how he's dealing with other people, that is a proper Muslim. And then, in conclusion, the knowledge, in order to do that, we have to learn the knowledge, as I mentioned. And with learning knowledge, you practice upon it as well. So you have to have both knowledge and then practice. Just having knowledge is also wrong. This leads you in the direction of the Jews. The Jews, they used to have a lot of knowledge, but they never used to practice. And the Christians, they used to have no knowledge, but just worshipping, like ignorant worshippers. And Allah said, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَبَّالِينَ. That Allah's ghussa and His ghadab and His wrath and His anger descended upon the Jews because they knew and they did not act. And those Christians who didn't learn anything and just kept on worshipping Allah without knowledge, then they deviated from the straight path. That's why there's a saying, they say, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ فَقَدْ تَفَتَّقَ. That person who gained knowledge but did not practice, then he's a fasiq, a sinner, a transgressor. وَمَنْ عَلِمَ And that person, وَمَنْ عَلِمَ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ فَقَدْ تَضَلَّمْ وَمَنْ عَمِلَ وَلَمْ يَتَعَلَّمْ فَقَدْ تَضَلَّمْ. That person who kept on worshipping Allah but did not gain knowledge, he didn't take knowledge, then he is deviated. وَمَنْ جَمَعَ بَيْنَهُمَا فَقَدْ تَحَقَّقْ. That person who gathered between ilm and amal, between knowledge and practice, then he has gone into the straight path. So this is what we need to do. We need to worship Allah, practice upon and gain knowledge. See, being an ignorant worshipper, just ibadah, worshipping without knowledge, is also wrong. And knowledge by itself is also wrong. And Imam al-Shafi'i, the great Imam, he said, finally, I finish with the saying, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, there's a famous saying, he says in one of his books, he says, فَقِيهًا وَصُوفِيًا فَكُنْ لَيْسَ وَاحِدًا. That don't be a knowledgeable person and a worshipper. Don't just be one of the two. Don't just be a worshipper, an ignorant worshipper, and don't just be a knowledgeable person. فَقِيهًا وَصُوفِيًا. فَقِيه means knowledgeable. فَقِيهًا وَصُوفِيًا فَكُنْ لَيْسَ وَاحِدًا فَإِنِّي بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ إِيَّاكَ لَأَنْصَحُ. Because I sincerely, by Allah, I give you a sincere advice. And the second line he says, that فَذَلِكَ قَاسٍ لَمْ يَذُقْ قَلْبُهُ تُقًا. That the former, the first one, the one who's got knowledge but no practice, then he, his heart is very hard, it's become very hard. He has never tasted taqwa and the sweetness of iman. وَهَذَا جَهُولٌ فَكَيْفَ بُلْجَهْلِ يَسْلَحُ. And this person who just worships, and he's just a Sufi and just worships, but no knowledge, then this person, جَهُولٌ, he's ignorant, how will he rectify other people without knowledge? So this is the khulasa, that we need to acquire knowledge. This is an obligation which Allah has given us. And with this, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the ability to practice. And all of you, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.